Come on, let's go. Hallmark style movies. I can't wait to jump into it. Can't wait. But first, before we jump in, I want to give a very, very special Crossroads welcome to Crossroads Columbus. Let's go, Columbus. Columbus, people are so nice. They're clapping for you. They don't even know why. I just said your name, and they're like, yes! Great, very enthusiastic. Now, this weekend is a special weekend for Crossroads Columbus. They have been setting up and tearing down every single weekend on and off for 7 years. 7 years. And today, this weekend, they move into their permanent space. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, you're going like, how is that possible? Wasn't that part of the push? And wasn't that one of the projects we were hoping for? Yes, actually, during the push, as we saw momentum building, we were able to jump in and purchase a building for just under $5 million for them and get them in. It's actually a property that was a former church, and we get to redeem it for its intended use. It's got an annex property on it, and so they've moved into that annex property where they can hold services in their own spot while the main section gets some renovation done. So, Crossroads Columbus, welcome. So pumped that you're with us. Amazing. Speaking of the push, by the way, I've had a lot of you ask me, email me, find me in Target in the aisles, and say, Kyle, how are the push projects going to get started? Like, how will you choose when to do what, and how fast will we be able to start these things? And I always give the same answer, which is we will spend money as soon as it comes in. That's what we do here. We don't hold on to money. We don't have a big savings account. We put the money into action, just like you saw with Crossroads Columbus. And so if you've made a push commitment, I want to encourage you to get started before the year ends. Follow through on your commitment. We're actually going to send you a memento to help you on that journey. I'm inspired by something that that NASA gives astronauts. I learned this not too long ago, that when you're a NASA astronaut and you commit to your first mission, NASA gives you a silver pen. And when you complete your mission that you committed to, they send you a gold pen. And so we've actually had this little thing designed up for you. You might have seen these hanging in an atrium at a site, something much larger than this, little kind of spinner guy. We're gonna send you one of these, but slightly smaller, for your Christmas tree. This would be a little bit big. So be on the lookout for that. And my encouragement to you is to be on the lookout for it. And then once you've made the start towards your commitment, hang that on your tree as a sign of gratitude. It's a gift to get to lean in and do what we're doing as a church. So be on the lookout for that. But today's not about the push. It's not even about Crossroads Columbus. It is about Hallmark-style movies. Come on. Who's not afraid to admit that you like these kind of movies? Let's be brave, okay? Yes, I know, Brian did Die Hard, very manly, whatever. My favorite movies are Hallmark style. And I say Hallmark style because I actually like the Netflix version better. They're just slightly more elevated, a little bit more refined, whatever. But it's all the Hallmark movie formula. And I like them because I know exactly what I'm getting. It's the same reason why anybody who's ever offered me a chocolate chip cookie, I've been like, yeah, that's great, I will take that cookie. I know exactly what I'm getting. What I'm getting is a happily ever after story. See, there's something deep and profound about these movies that we can laugh about or watch with popcorn or fall asleep for half of and wake up and still know exactly what's happening. And the profound truth is that you and I were made to live a life that is certain of its end, that has a certain hope to it. You know, the Christmas story is a story about the Messiah coming, and in the ancient world, in ancient Judaism, the Messiah was this long prophesied figure who represented the arrival of hope. Some of you might celebrate Advent in your house, and the first candle you light is a candle of hope. It's the foundation of the Christmas story, the foundation of this Messiah who's coming. And a lot of what was written about the Messiah, about Jesus who'd be born in the manger, was actually written centuries and centuries and centuries before him. And we have archaeological evidence to prove that this is true. These manuscripts existed long before Jesus. And they describe things about his life with remarkable accuracy, and then go beyond it to point us to hope. One example is Isaiah 9, verse 6. You might have heard this read before. It says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." Isaiah says from the beginning of the Christmas story, this is written 700 years before Jesus arrives. He says, I want to tell you how it ends. It ends with ever-increasing peace. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what's going on, what you're dealing with. But my hope today is that you walk out of here having had two things happen. One, you had fun. I really hope you have fun today. And two, I hope you walk out filled up with hope. Because the Christmas story is a story of hope. Not abstract hope, not squishy hope, but a solid hope that you can base your entire life on. Let's pray before we go any further. God, I'm asking that you would do that for all of us, that you would give us the gift of hope, the gift of laughter, the gift of fun, that we'd walk out with our hope tank filled up because of you. Amen. Now, maybe you're somebody who's like, Hallmark-style movies, is this the thing? I don't know why you would think that, but welcome out from under the rock you've been living under. Yes, Hallmark-style movies are massive. Do you know that the Hallmark Channel alone, the pioneers of this formula, make over 40 Christmas movies every single year? 40. They film them all up in Canada. These are true facts. You can look up on the internet, I promise. Film them all up in Canada. They cost about $1 million to $2 million a piece. They film them in 15 days. And I found this stat. In 2021, they made $350 million from them alone. Crazy. It's this massive industry, and they're all exactly the same. All of them. Now, Sarah and I, we got into watching these style movies back when our kids were a little bit younger, and we wanted date nights, you know? That's an important thing. Everybody tells you that. You want a healthy marriage. You need to prioritize date night. And so we would try that, but then a kid would get sick, or babysitter would cancel, or whatever. It's just impossible. And then I had this brilliant idea. Maybe the best one of my whole life. I invented something. It's called indoor dating. It's amazing. I know, follow me for just a second. You do exactly what you would do if you left your house, only you don't. That's how it goes. So our favorite version of this is we get takeout sushi and we put on a Netflix Christmas movie and it is spectacular. And ladies, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, man, Kyle, I wish I was married to you. You're telling me you take your wife on dates to nowhere. Wow. Yeah. That is technically true. Don't tell Sarah that, okay? Just if you let that be your own little realization, that's what happens. The point is, though, I've watched a lot, at this point, a lot of Hallmark-style Christmas movies. So many of them. I'm not just a fan. I'm not just a connoisseur. I would say more like a sommelier of them. And I'd like to recommend a few, just kind of pairings, some vintages that are particularly favorites of mine in case you're new to this. I'm just gonna introduce you, give you some indoor date nights if you're interested. If you want something older, I'd recommend a 2019 vintage. It's called A Night Before Christmas. It's a very plausible story about a knight from the year 1300 who interacts with a magical Christmas person who transports him to the future, where he falls in love. And you'll never guess how it ends. Happily ever after. It's crazy. You want something a little bit newer? Highly recommend getting in on this train. 2022, Falling for Christmas. Now, this is a truly historic film. I think it's going to go down in the history books. Why? Because it's played an important role in Lindsay Lohan's Lohanessence. She's back, and this movie's a big reason why. Highly recommend it. There's a newer one called Our Little Secret, also Lindsay Lohan. Highly recommend it. You won't guess how both of those films end. Happily ever after, it turns out. There's a newer one if you want something a little bit newer. Now it's young, and so it's a little bit spicy. Got to warn you, 2024 vintage. I know somebody in this room has watched it. Hot Frosty. Yeah! Yes, I was so pumped when I saw that. This is like, oh, we're saving this for a good night. This is so great. Listen, if you don't know Hot Frosty, okay, look, Netflix did it, guys. They did it for us. They made the thing we've all always wanted, a Christmas movie about a sexy snowman come to life. Yes. It's great. Very much recommend that. Not gonna guess how it ends. Happily ever after. Oh, that's right. You did guess it. Now, my favorite vintage is actually from 2017. It's A Christmas Prince. Oh my gosh, so great. It's about a big city woman on a career path who gets sent by her boss to the country of Aldovia, where she runs into the prince, and you won't believe it, but they fall in love, and the movie ends happily ever after. Guess what? It's also part of a trilogy. just sink your teeth into that one. It's great. Now, these all follow the same pattern. They're so wildly predictable that Sarah and I actually played this game, which I super recommend doing, by the way. We play this game where we play the first 2 minutes of the movie, and then we press pause, and then we have to predict the rest of the movie to each other. And then whoever gets the closest wins. And we're always like both the closest because it's so easy. So incredibly easy. Now, in this series, we typically play clips from movies, but today we thought we'd mix it up just a little bit. Because these movies are so wildly predictable, we actually think we can create our own movie live together right now. That's exactly right. So we got some improv actors up here who are gonna join us. First, for a female lead, we were able to find a professional improv actress, Susan Jung. Please welcome her to the stage. Susan, fantastic. Now, for our male lead, we weren't able to find a professional or anybody good at all, but we did find Dayton Community Pastor, aka Super Bowl preaching referee, Matt Castleman, who we forced to be here. So he's here. We got a couple surprise guests. Now, this is going to be improv, okay? And so I want you guys to stay on stage the whole time. No talking to each other. No, just, it's got to be in the moment. Deal?
Deal.
Okay, great. Deal. Perfect. Now,
you'll be all right.
Here's what I need from you guys, Oakley, specifically. Oakley, you have an important job. All the sites, we're all counting on you, okay? Everybody in Lexington, East Side, West Side, Columbus, everybody's counting on you. Everybody online, counting on you. I need you to give me a title for the movie we're about to watch.
Hot Frosty.
Hot Frosty's taken, sir. That's sorry, excellent. Taken. Copyright infringement, can't do that. Don't want to go to jail. Other suggestions? Ooh. A Christmas Melody. Let's do a Christmas Melody.
A Christmas melody.
Yeah, a Christmas.
Okay.
A Christmas Melody. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I am pleased to welcome you to the first ever showing of our brand new film, A Christmas Melody.
Oh, Carly, thank God for these coffee breaks, am I right?
Yes, oh my goodness, Ashley, you're not going to believe it. This time of year, just it takes us over every year.
I know. I'm working at this snow globe factory, just really takes it out of you.
Yeah, and every time I think that we're going to get a break, we just get swamped.
We don't, but that's okay. You know why? Because I am a big city corporate woman.
You're right.
And my career is everything to me, so I will continue to take these orders for the singing snow globes year after year until I get my promotion.
As you should. You know, you are a boss.
I am.
And I respect that in you, but I got to tell you, there's something missing.
What?
In your life.
I have everything I need. I have my
career.
I mean,
like your love life.
Oh.
Carly.
Oh. No.
Come on.
No, really.
Ever since Joseph, you just haven't gone out anymore.
Okay, and I cannot believe you are bringing that up from my hometown 10 years ago.
I mean, it's worth bringing up because
I know there's a lot of exposition.
Ready.
Sorry, but
it's
yeah.
Okay, Carly. We know this.
Ladies.
Oh, hello, Mr.
Sorry to break up the chit chat that you all do. Nobody said it was break around here.
Sorry, Mr.
I
Andrew.
I am the boss. Okay, my name is
Mr. Huffstetter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You stuttered on that like we don't know.
You make me nervous.
Okay.
Me too. So I'm gonna go.
Oh. Your name is.
You just said it.
Did I?
Yeah. You know what? Let's just
go. So anyway, I've got because
I'll
I know.
I'll make up a new name for you. How about Hope?
No. Hope. Okay.
Yeah.
Hope.
Okay. You can call me Hope.
So, I've got because I know you so well.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's weird, but sure.
And because I know your work ethic.
Yes.
I've got a very special project that I need you to go.
I am ready, sir.
So you're from the town of
Rabbit Patch.
Rabbit Patch, and that's in the state of
West Virginia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rabbit Patch, West Virginia.
Yep.
There is a store that sells snow globes there, and I need you to go there
and buy that store and
take them out for us.
Sir, please don't send me back to that town.
I have a history. No. See, you misunderstood. I didn't ask how you felt about it. I never ask about your feelings. I'm your boss. You do what I said, and I need you to scrap everything on your calendar and go to Rabbit Patch, West Virginia. To shut down that snow globe store and take it in for us.
Okay, I will do it.
Great.
Okay.
Wow.
I didn't know that we had to assemble every single snow globe by adding its own snow into the snow globe. There seems like a more efficient way to do this.
Joseph, ever since my arthritis crept in from being your grandmother, you have to do it for me. I can't do it myself.
You got arthritis from being my grandmother?
Yes.
I'm so sorry.
It stressed me out.
I got you working here at Snow Globe
Emporium Co.
Yes, I forget the name often.
Come on,
here
Joseph.
Here in Rabbit
Patch, West Virginia.
Yeah, but I mean, these snow globes aren't going to globe themselves, so
listen,
thank you. Sorry.
Let me just give you these boxes. I want you to take them on over there.
That would be great. Oh, gosh.
Goodness these are gracious.
Nice to meet you. That's weird. Okay. Hi. I got some ice sludge all over my
Manila
blocks,
and
I just want to.
With these snow globes.
Oh my gosh! They all broke, and the liquid is leaking out onto my brand new Prada shoes.
Oh, those are such nice shoes. I'm so sorry. I didn't see you.
Carly,
it's you.
Joseph.
That is my name,
that
Joseph.
Joseph is your name, yes.
And Carly.
Carly. Yes.
Carly, you look incredible. It's been so long.
Thank you. Yes. Oh,
Carly,
your grandma.
Back to town.
Thank
you. Are you moving back?
Oh, no.
She's moving back.
No, I'm not moving back. No.
Wait.
No, I'm from Big City. I don't want
to. You've been to Big City?
I live there. I live at Big City.
We're in Little City still.
Yes.
Well, you two remember how you used to just love each other and went out to prom together.
That's
really aggressive to say that.
You just remember that? I remember the good times.
We went to prom and you wore those really tall heels again, being taller than me.
Sorry.
Again.
Well, I'm going to excuse myself and let you youngins catch up. What do you say?
Oh.
Yeah. It's been so long.
It has been a really long time.
The last time I saw you, I feel terrible.
Well, it would have been the night you were supposed to meet me at the state fair.
Yep.
In Rabbit Hash.
That was going to be a wonderful date spot.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry. I missed
you
it
left
because...
me home the corn dogs.
I would love to help.
Nope. Leave that alone.
Yeah, I forget that part. But I missed it. I'm so sorry. I wasn't there for you.
No. You know what? It's fine. Well, I've gotten over it because I have a corporate job now, and that means everything to me. And this small town, I've outgrown it. Quite honestly.
Hey, Joseph, what do you say you run into town? You know I'm banned over at the Snow Globe Emporium Co. number 2.
Ooh,
so how about you go over there and pick up those supplies? It's in my name. And you know what? Show Carly the town while you're at it.
Yeah.
The town has changed so much. You just got to see. We're not just Rabbit Patch. We got Raccoon Patch. We got Lizard Patch. We got plenty of patches.
That's right.
So you two just have a good time.
You
what do you say?
I don't want to take
you away from your
making snow globes.
No.
My arthritic
grandma can take care of all of it.
Okay.
I would love to show you our small town that has branched out into many different animal
names. Lots of patches,
Let me show you all the
all
patches.
All the patches.
And they are
this way.
They're this way. Let's go this way. Rabbit Patch. I didn't see that coming. That's great. Okay. Fantastic. What did that teach us? Who knows? Anything? Anybody? It's this. Tell you what. Number one truth from Hallmark-style movies is that your life will go off script. Did you notice that? See, every single one of these movies, every single one of us, we have a script for our life, we have a plan, we have a thing that we think is going to happen, you know, I'm going to go to high school and graduate and get into a good college and get a good job and then meet a good girl and then get married and have good kids, right? That's kind of this progression. But what Hallmark-style movies show us is that the script always breaks. Something happens that sends us off of our path. The big city girl gets sent back to her small hometown and meets the guy she didn't want to see again. This is our life, and this is the Christmas story. I mean, think about this. Christmas story has a female lead. Her name is Mary. I don't even have heard of her before. Mary, mother of Jesus. And her life literally has an off-script moment. She's in the spot of life where she's happily betrothed, she's engaged, wedding's coming, she's planning for it, she's thinking about it, she's got her life picked out with this guy named Joseph. And then out of nowhere, the off-script moment happens. Here's what it says in Luke 1:26.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary says, "Wow!" No, it's not what she says at all. She's like, "What? How can this be?" Like, she's not pumped about it. It's this off-script moment for her life, which, by the way, makes her perfectly fall in line with every major character in the Bible ever and with all of us. Think about it for just a second. Abraham's a successful business owner. He's growing his business. He's growing his flocks. He's getting more wealth. And then God out of nowhere shows up in a dream and says, "Abraham, I want you to leave everything you've ever known, and I want you to head out the door, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going until you start moving." That's an off-script moment. Think about for a second Joseph. Joseph gets sold into slavery. Off-script moment. Wasn't planning on that. Moses, he gets put into a basket and basically put up for adoption. Then he gets exiled for 40 years. Then he gets sent into a job that he doesn't want, to be the mouthpiece of God. All off-script moments for what he planned for his life. Ruth has off-script moments. Her husband, her father-in-law, and her brother-in-law all tragically die at about the same point in her life. Off-script moment. Esther, she marries a guy who she can't even reveal her ethnicity to. Leah marries a guy who doesn't even love her. All the disciples, Peter wants to be a fisherman. Off-script moment, Jesus comes along and says, "Follow me." Matthew thinks he's going to be an accountant, a tax collector. Off-script moment, Paul, off-script moment, again and again and again. And it's us. In fact, I'm willing to make a bet. There's never been a single person who's ever lived whose life followed their script. None. Think about your life for a minute. When did your life first go off script? Was it when you didn't get into the college you wanted to, or when you didn't graduate high school? Was it when she said no? Was it when you got a divorce when you were young? Was it when you had a baby unexpectedly? Was it when you couldn't conceive? Was it now when you find yourself still not married? Was it a career that went sideways? When did your life go off script? And I don't know when, but I do know that it has. It has for all of us. See, part of the formula in these Hallmark-style movies, part of the reason they resonate with us is because they bake this in, this realism inside of these movies that say, yes, your life will go off script. Not just once, by the way, but again and again and again. You know, Mary is this incredible figure that I think sometimes we look at her and she kind of becomes almost two-dimensional. But she doesn't live a two-dimensional life. She has this first off-script moment, and it was a big one, by the way. She knows that Joseph's likely to leave her. All kinds of things are likely to happen. But then, good news, he doesn't. He stays with her. But then, bad news, off-script moment, they have to flee to Egypt because Herod wants to kill Jesus. And then more off-script moments happen. It's pretty clear from the historical record that her husband, Joseph, likely died young. Why do we believe this? Well, for lots of reasons, but one is at the cross, Joseph, who was a righteous man, who was a good earthly father to Jesus, is nowhere to be found, but his mother Mary is. And on the cross, as he's dying, Jesus actually points at his friend John and he says, "Will you take care of my mom for me?" What does that mean? It means Joseph isn't around anymore. It also means more off-script moments. We know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters from Mary and from Joseph. But in this moment, John, for some reason, can't point to any of them, or Jesus in this moment, can't point to any of them to take care of his mom. Instead, he goes to his friend. Why? Well, there's likely some off-script moments happening. This is our life again and again and again. In fact, in the script of Netflix movies or Hallmark Star movies, there's the setup. There's the initial complication, they get sent somewhere, and then there's the near kiss. There's a moment where life looks like it's gonna happen, right? We're gonna get together, and then it's followed by the breakup. This is the pattern of life. Just when it looks like things might break, just when it looks like we might get ahead, all of a sudden there's another off-script moment, there's another setback. Speaking of which, it is time for another scene from our favorite movie, whose title I forget. What's it called? Christmas Melody. Christmas Melody. Oh my gosh, cannot wait. Now, for this one, Oakley, again, depending on you, did a great job with the name. I need from you an idea. I need an activity that you would do on a Christmas date. Shout them out. Ice skating.
Ice skating.
Ice skating. Ice skating. Another one? Snow tubing.
Snow
ice skating,
tubing.
Snow tubing.
An active date. Ice skating, snow tubing.
You're all talking at once. I can't, we need to organize this better. I can't.
Ice skating, snow tubing.
Making a snowman.
Making a snowman.
Ice skating, snow tubing, making a snowman. Perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Act Two of A Christmas Melody.
So, Joseph, you're going to show me the town, because that's what we just said.
Oh, we're not ice skating yet, are we?
Well, I wanted to recap, because it's been a second.
That's right.
Since we've been up here.
I just like to practice.
That's
okay.
Cool. That's great. Well, we have our skates on.
Yeah,
so we might as well. You want to just go ahead?
Yeah, that's no better way to do it.
All right. Here we go. Oh, you're following me.
Oh,
okay.
No,
that's
sorry.
That works.
I forget how to do it, and you're doing it
so
well.
No, it's okay. I know. Oh, my skate's a little wobbly.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, I might fall.
Whoa.
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay. I don't know why you want to show me all these physical activities, because we did this all.
Making sure big town or big city girl is still in shape and can keep up with a small guy or a small town guy. Tubing.
It's okay. I know you struggle with that. It's all right.
Thank you.
It's okay.
It's our secret.
This makes me think of the time we had that seventh grade party, and the talent show was afterwards. Do you remember?
I remember.
We sang that song together.
Do you remember
how it goes? And here, let's put our tubes down and do the choreo.
Jog my memory and I'll catch on.
It was Jingle Bells. So, ready?
Yep.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
How could I forget?
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Yeah.
Yes, that was it!
Oh my gosh!
Okay, anyway.
I can't believe you still have it in you.
That was
fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, snow tubing.
Snow tubing,
snow tubing.
Yeah.
Oh, mine's deflated. It's not going to work.
Well,
I guess
here's one
share?
That we could share.
Okay.
After you.
Okay,
I'll hold it.
All right.
And let's see if I, what's the best?
I don't know.
Okay, here, if,
okay. Oh, hey.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Nice to see you, Carly. Well, wow.
Wow, this is
really special.
Yeah.
Like, okay, hey, you again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hey,
oh, gosh, right in my eye. I missed, sorry.
Totally missed. That's all right.
Yeah, here we go.
Did. Okay.
This packs really well. That's nice.
Wow, you're really good at this.
Thank you.
It's like I'm seeing you in a whole new but old light.
Same. You know, I've been spending so much time packing snow in snow globes that I think I've forgotten to add a melody in my own heart.
Yeah.
Do you think you could teach me?
I mean, I did teach you the dance and the jingle bell thing. So I don't know. I feel a little unsure, a little hesitant. I feel like my life has been staccato lately, and you know, I don't know. I would assume something would happen now that would interrupt us, but it's okay. Wow, that was weird.
That's a weird ringtone.
Yeah, it sounds like a bird chirping. Okay, I'm going to change that. Yeah. Hang on one second. Let me get this.
Sure, sure.
Hello?
Oh, hey, Carly. How's it going?
Oh, hey. Hi. I'm in my hometown of Rabbit Hash, and I've been snow tubing and ice skating and building a snowman. And
stop.
Joseph is here.
You're kidding. I mean, work is crazy, but it's fine. So are you, like, doing job? Are you, like, with Joseph? Like, what's happening?
Okay, I don't really understand you. Sorry. Hold on. My ringtone is oddly able to cut through this conversation.
Okay, well, I'll catch you later. I'll catch you. Get it.
Okay.
I'll catch you later.
Thanks. Hello?
Carly.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes.
What is your ringtone?
Sorry, what?
What's your ringtone?
What? Just a small town girl. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
Great, great, great. All right, give me the snow globe update.
Okay, yes. So I haven't really purchased the store yet. I'm working on it. Things are happening, and there was a snow tube thing. And
wait. Are you telling me I didn't make it clear? If you don't close this deal, new year, new job for you.
Okay, no, I will close the deal. I will buy out that store. I will be ruthless just like you taught
Lock
me.
It in. Come on. Put
Locking
your big girl pants on. Get out of snow tubing. I don't know if you
okay,
did that. I'm not sure.
I'm
not supposed to know that because
I'm
in a different
town. I'm going to have to talk to HR
town.
About that big girl pants thing. That was weird.
Lock it in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's just a little inappropriate sometimes. Okay, Joseph. Hey, I'm ready to... Okay, the smoking thing, that's new.
Picked it up after church last weekend. We've been having so much fun, Carly.
Carly, yeah,
and
yeah, we were, yeah.
I felt like my heart was beginning to sing.
To sing,
louder
yeah.
than my snow globes, the melody in them, but...
Okay.
You know,
what's,
like when
you
I...
You seem upset about something.
When I dropped all the snow globes, they shattered. I heard what you said, and my heart is shattering, too.
Okay, that was a long way to get there. So what happened? You overheard what I said about what?
Buying a business, sealing the deal.
Oh, no.
Big town girl, more like big time attitude, and this melody.
Okay, listen, you're misunderstanding. You're gonna milk the melody thing, and it's not
gonna
go well.
I really am.
So,
I'm mad.
Yes.
And I'm going back to my small town,
no,
my snow globe company.
No,
I'm out of here.
Joseph.
Oh, man. Oh, we're on pins and needles, right? Ooh, what's going to happen? How's it going to end? I don't know. Oh, that's right. Happily ever after. Yeah, that's the second truth that Hallmark-style movies can teach us. No matter what happens, no matter how many ups and downs there are, you and I, our story turns out to be one that ends happily ever after. I think it's the main reason why these stories resonate. See, in that formula, the next two steps, the last two steps, are what's called the reconciliation and the happily ever after, which is the gospel. I don't know if you know that. The gospel, the story of Jesus that starts in this Christmas story, the story of Jesus is not primarily good advice for how to live your life. It is primarily a certainty about the future and how your story will end. That's what it is. It's a certain hope. Here's how Jesus put it in John 11. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live." Certainty, will, not might, will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he says, do you believe this? See, God as a storyteller is the ultimate one who spoils his own story. He tells us the end of the story. Why? Because he wants us to live with a certain hope. You and I are not actually made to go through life wondering how our story ends. If you find yourself in a place where full of fear and anxiety and worry, maybe, just maybe, I might want to press into you and ask you the same question that Jesus just asked. Do you believe what he said? Not about the story, but about your story, about your life and where you're headed. The Prince of Peace who brings ever increasing peace. Do you believe that's the trajectory of your life? Now, this idea of certain hope, it's very, very different than the world's idea of hope. See, I think the world uses this word hope, but what we mean by hope is a wish, you know? We say things like, I don't know what's gonna happen, but I hope that. And what can happen is it feels like the Bible story, if you apply that kind of hope to the Bible, what the Bible's asking you to do is to live a Disney life. Wish upon a star. That whole thing, right? That's the Christmas story. Oh, yeah, there's a star up in Bethlehem. You kind of hope on the Christmas star and just dream that everything will be great. No,
No, that's not the kind of hope the Bible talks about. That's a fool's hope. That's wildly different. By the way, wives, a fool's hope is what you have if you want your husband to get you the thing you want and you haven't told him. Exactly what it is. And I cannot stress the word exactly enough. I mean exactly. Like put it in the Amazon cart, click buy now, and then tell him what you got, okay? That's how you have to do it. Promise. None of us husbands, none of us are like, oh, I hope she makes me guess. Oh, yeah. No. Early on in our marriage, I learned this. I tried to guess what my wife wanted, and it did not go well. Our first year in marriage, our first Christmas, I remember, we go to the mall together. Back when malls were still a thing, it was great. We go to the mall, and this is totally true. At this moment, I am a humble, poor church worker who's also an amateur carpenter. And she's a big city corporate career woman. Literally, worked for a big corporation in the city in a high rise, okay? And so we go to Ann Taylor, where she would buy all of her fancy suits and clothes. And she sees this sweater, and it's $90. I remember this the rest of my life. Gray sweater, $90. And she says, ooh, I like that sweater. And I'm like, awesome, I know exactly what she wants. Great, so I come back next day on my lunch break, and I buy the sweater, I wrap it, I put it under the tree. She opens it, and she goes, oh, this is nice. I'm like, it's that sweater that you wanted. And she's like, yeah, I sure did. Oh, this is great. And folds it up and never puts it on, ever in her entire life, not even one time. Went to Goodwill so fast. So wives, tell your husband what you want. Otherwise, you have a fool's hope. But again, the kind of hope we're talking about here in the Bible is not that kind of hope. It's not a fool's hope. The hope that the Bible describes is a certain hope, an absolute certain hope. One of my favorite theologians is a guy who recently passed away. His name is Tim Keller. And his definition of biblical hope is incredible. He says, biblical hope is a life-shaping certainty about the future. He says, when you have biblical hope, literally every single day in your life should be lived differently. Why? Because you know how your story will end and you believe it. This is actually the thing that stood out most about Mary. You know, when the angel comes there and he says, hey, good news, you found favor with God. One of the questions that people have asked for 2,000 years since then is, what about Mary made her find favor in the eyes of God? And I don't know with absolute certainty, but my best guess, based on what I read, is that the thing that stood out about her was her certainty of hope, that she was willing to believe the things that God said to her about her future. After that scene where the angel comes to her, she actually gets up and she goes and visits her cousin, Elizabeth. This is how the story picks up. Luke 1:39 says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. And then she ends with this, and blessed is she. I think in this moment, she's looking right at Mary, right in the eyes. She says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. See, the thing that makes Mary remarkable is that she just believed what God said about her future. She just decided that it was certain that he meant what he said. And I believe it changed every single day of her life. I want you to imagine for a moment that I was to hire two people. Okay, let's imagine the job is to split firewood. Got it? Need firewood, it's getting cold, and it's gonna be outside. It's gonna be hard, it's gonna be painful. It's gonna be very, very cold. I'm not gonna give you gloves, okay? It's gonna be awful, but I'm gonna hire two people. And imagine for person A, I hire them and I say to them, hey, at the end of the day, I'm gonna give you $10. Okay? And then person two, I say, hey, same exact work as them. It's gonna be hard, it's gonna be cold, it's gonna be painful. You're not gonna like it. But at the end of the day, I'm gonna give you $10 million. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, their attitude during the day might be different? Do you think that one of them might just be more filled with hope? Might, even as things are hard, even as things are cold, even as things are painful, might just have an extra little bounce in their step? Of course. Why? Because they know what's coming at the end of the story is a happily ever after. That's why. Well, that's you and me, friends. This is what's supposed to be us. See, if you believe in Jesus, when you walk into a room, every single person in the room should go, oh yeah, Jim's here. Oh man, that guy, he's just like a breath of fresh air. He just lifts everybody up. When Susan walks in, there's just hope in the room that you can just feel the thing change. Man, she's just phenomenal. This is what it's supposed to be to follow Jesus. Another way to think about it is if you're a Christian, you're supposed to live life like a Kansas City Chiefs fan. You're just certain you're gonna win, right? Without the cheating refs, just saying. Just point that out, point that out. By the way, Christmas movies, I don't even know this. There are two Hallmark-style Christmas movies about the Kansas City Chiefs and Taylor and Travis this year. And I am thrilled. Can't wait to watch them. Saving them like two fine bottles of wine for the right night. Haven't watched either one yet. Don't spoil them. I don't wanna know what happens. I think I do though. Happily ever after is probably where it ends, but this is it. See, to follow Jesus, to live this life, to believe that this baby born in a manger so long ago is actually not just the Messiah, but your Messiah, means that you believe your life ends in victory. And it's not a maybe. It's not a, well, I don't really know how it's going to go. I don't really know if it's going to get there. No, it's a certainty. Because that baby grew into a man, died on the cross, and when he was hanging there, he said, it's finished. That means there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so in your life, you're heading towards a happily ever after. That's where you're going. It's a guarantee. Listen to this from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. It says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Every day you anchor to it. Every day you wake up and every day you say, no matter what happens today, I know where my life is headed. I know there's a kingdom that's coming. I know it's more present today than yesterday because Jesus said his peace will increase day after day after day. And I'm clinging to that hope and I'm living out of that hope every single day. And in other words, you're meant to be an eternal optimist. I actually think that's one of the most kind of untalked about character traits of Jesus. I believe Jesus was the most optimistic person who ever lived. I believe he was one of those guys that when he got in the room, everybody went, man, I'm glad Jesus is here. He just brings hope. He just brings positivity. I just feel lighter when he's around. That's Jesus. When he got with people, he was always telling them like not to worry and it would be okay. He would say things like this, Matthew 6, therefore don't be anxious saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the people who don't believe what you believe, they seek after these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. See, when he says it with his words, it's not lip service. It's the same word that created the universe, that established reality. He says, this is the reality I'm establishing for you. It's not rose-colored glasses either. You know, Jesus wasn't just an eternal optimist. Jesus was a realistic optimist. He wasn't promising that every moment and every scene of your entire life would go just perfect on script. He did not promise that at all. John 16, he said, truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. He says, yeah, you'll have some scenes you don't like, but it's not the end. It's not the end of your life. And I think about our church in pursuing an awakening. You know, that's what we're going after, a nation that wakes up to the gospel. The thing that I think we might need the most are Christians to wake up to the hope they're supposed to carry around and start carrying with it into every meeting and every place that they ever go. The world needs this from us. And by the way, not just the world, our families need it. I've realized this recently in my own family. As my kids get older, you know, everybody kind of told us like when they're babies, it's hard, but when they get older, the struggles are more difficult. And in the middle of the night, when I was changing my 19th dirty diaper, I was like, I will take the older part. That sounds better. They don't crap their pants in the middle of the night when they're 15, right? Cool. I want that. But now that my kids are older, the issues are more complex. As I've had kids struggle in school this year and struggle with being teased and being bullied, what I've realized is part of my role as a father that I have to embrace more and more and more is I have to be the driver of the hope train for my kids. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, I'm telling you, this is a role that is critical for you to play. You have to be the one who, when they say, no one likes me and it's never gonna change and I don't, you have to be the one to say, ah, honey, I understand. I understand it's hard now. But this is not the story of your life. This is not how this thing is going to end. It's going to get better. You have to be the carrier of hope for your family, the one who believes the story isn't over. I think the greatest gift God may have given you is to know with 100% story, or with 100% certainty, exactly how your story will end. Speaking of which, it's time for the last act of our favorite Christmas movie, the one that's making just records at the box office, A Christmas Melody.
What's gotten into you?
Grandma, my heart is more mangled than those old arthritic hands of yours. I thought I could fake it here at our snow globe
Emporium.
Emporium Co.
Yes.
But I can't. I feel like one of these snowmen trapped in my own snow globe, Grandma.
Well, let me tell you, you know you love this girl since you were knee-high to a grasshopper.
I was very little.
Very tiny.
Yeah, just a few years ago.
And you deserve happiness.
I do.
And I think you better go get her. She is at the bus station right now.
She's getting on a bus?
She is going to go back to Big City.
Big City? The Big City bus station.
And you don't want to miss her.
I don't.
You love her.
She makes my Christmas merry.
And a melody in your heart.
That's right. And puts a melody in my heart. I'm going to go get her.
Go after her.
I'm going to go save Christmas. Okay. Go around this small city pedal board that's on the middle of the street. I don't know why I'm running. I have a car. Okay. Carly!
Oh, my gosh!
Sorry!
Joseph!
I came as...
If you drove, why are you out of breath?
I came as slowly as I could, and then I hurried up and found out the car situation, but...
Okay.
I've been a real jerk face, Carly.
Well, yes, but what specifically?
I made a lot of assumptions. I forgot a lot of things about the way we were, and the way things were. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess this whole big city attitude and small town guy combination just, it shook me up.
What are you trying to say?
The thing I'm trying to say, Carly, back then when I didn't show up to the
state fair,
that's what it was.
Yep.
I was busy rescuing bunnies, the rabbits that had fallen into the possum patch, and the possums had fallen into the rabbit patch.
Oh my
And I had to save all these little animals, otherwise I would have been there.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. I also appreciate how no one in West Virginia has the accent.
It's just small.
But mine is coming back, and you know why? Come here, take my hand.
I love that accent.
Take my hand, Joseph.
This way, Carly.
I was living in Big City on my own, going solo for so long. And then you plucked the strings of my heart. And you know what? Now we can be a duet. Yes.
Yes.
That's
duet.
Right. That's right.
I think, Carly, I love you.
Oh.
I my accent's coming back too now,
is.
Carly.
It's a miracle,
it's a
praise
miracle.
Jesus. That's
Carly,
what love will do for you.
I love you, and will you be my blessed bride?
Hold on just one second. I gotta think about it for a minute.
Okay, take your time.
I might get a phone call that interrupts this
just
moment.
Just a small town girl.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did not change that ringtone yet. Yes, hello.
Carly.
Yes, sir.
Change of plans. We're
all right,
shaking
change
this
of accent,
thing up.
So we're good.
Scrap the plan. Back out of this deal.
Back out of the deal.
Get out of the deal.
I don't
you
need
are
to
not
try to
buying
buy
this store.
Snow Globe Emporium Co. Hold on. Let me put you on speaker.
Hello.
This is Joseph.
I'm Joseph.
Joseph.
Who is this?
This is my boss.
Joseph, what's your last name?
Jangleman.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Jangleman.
Come again?
Joseph Jangleman.
Joseph Jangleman. Of the Jangleman Snow Globe family, that's the richest family in all of West Virginia that owns this town called
Rabbit Hatch.
That's you?
That is I, sir.
I guess that's all he has to say.
I think we lost him. Bad reception.
You know what?
In these.
I think he was going to tell me that the business was going under because y'all, you know, you own all
the whole town. The bunnies and the possums.
So
and
that means.
That means.
That means that I can marry you because I love you and you're rich.
That's right.
That is quite a plot twist.
That is. We never saw it coming. I'm rich with money. And snow globes
and love.
And love.
And now we can play and sing our Christmas melody. That's right.
Good job. Yeah. Hey, can we thank them? That was amazing. Justin, Hannah, Matt, Susan. Amazing. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we will send you guys the royalty checks as soon as Netflix wants to make that movie. Look out for that next year. Spectacular. Shocking, right? There was a happily ever after. Earlier in the service, I read you that verse, the one from Isaiah, but the prophecy of the coming Messiah. There were names for him, things like Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, these incredible names. But I'll tell you that the name that I love the most for Jesus this Christmas isn't any of those. It's actually one that comes out of the very last book of the Bible. It's the name, The End. It says this in Revelation 21. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, 'I'm making everything new.'" And then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, and I am the end.'" I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what scene's currently playing out for you. I don't know whether it's one where it looks like things are gonna be hopeful. I don't know whether it's one where it looks like everything's just falling apart again. I don't know, but I know this. Unless it's Jesus standing up with his arms spread over your life and saying, "I'm making all of this new," good news. It's not the end. That's the end of your story. See, you and I, if you believe in Jesus, your story ends, guess how? A happily ever after. Jesus, thank you so much for your story. Thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for the certainty of hope, the rock that we can build our life. And I'm asking for everybody here, Lord, that you would fill up our hearts with hope, that we would have the courage to believe that you are who you say you are and that your love for us really, really, really has no end. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.